Welcome to It's Too Early Podcast, the podcast for the young workforce of Central Illinois who are up early and building something great. I'm your host, Jack Hart, and every Tuesday and Thursday, I sit down with the next generation of workers, leaders, and creators to talk about how they got started, where they're headed, and what keeps them going. These are real stories from young people figuring out and forging their path, because sure, it's too early, but the coffee's on, the mics are hot, and we got stuff to talk about. Let's get started.
Mind you, I've played on some pretty big stages with Unchained. There was one in St. Louis called the Armory.
Yeah.
They're no longer in business anymore.
Did they really close down the Armory?
They closed.
Why? What was the reason for that?
So when I went in there, I think they were always... My thought was they are always too big for what they were trying to market. They needed to market to more kids and especially adults, like young adults, because they really made it like yard games. They had concerts going on.
I remember going there. I think I went there like once back in my day when I had that ex-girlfriend in St. Louis. And we went there. I was like, this is a nice little area. I didn't know they closed. That's crazy.
Yeah, they closed it. And like I played there. Sushi Roll actually played there too. I didn't know that until I was on the road with them. They're like, yeah, we actually played at the Armory. And I was like, whoa, I played there too.
Did you ever run into them like beforehand?
I watched Sushi Roll like 3 years ago.
Oh man.
I've been seeing them like every year. And I remembered them from the first time I went out. It was after Unchained show at Motorheads.
Yeah.
And I went over down the street, Crow's Mill Pub, and I see a whole costume on the lead singer. I see a bunch of different just animated, very theatrical equipment that they brought in. Their whole entire concept of the show was entertaining.
Oh man.
And that's what really pulled me in. And I remember talking to my ex at the time, why does my band not do this? Why do they not do this?
It's very true. If you combine Unchained versus Sushi Roll, totally different.
It is.
And you're the guy. You love the entertainment. Entertainment aspect's a fun aspect. You don't want guys standing out there and be boring.
No.
Just not.
Guys standing around in a straight line will always be boring.
Yeah, 100%.
No matter how good of a musician they are, will always be, all right, this is cool, but what else can they do? Like, are they going to move around? You know, not saying, I don't want to name any bands around here, but a lot of people that I've noticed, not only from around the Springfield area, but whenever we go out to, say, Iowa, you know, we're playing, I just played a small town called LaPorte City, Iowa, right? It was just like New Berlin, Pawnee size.
Okay.
So that's, you know.
Good. It's a small, very small town.
It's a small community, you know, likewise to Rochester.
Of course.
And when I was down there, we had an opening band, and that opening band, you know, they didn't really move around a ton. Now, they played classic rock, and when I mean classic rock, I mean like 50s, 60s.
Oh, like Elvis
Beatles,
type stuff?
Beatles, Elvis, James Brown, a lot of that stuff. And these guys were standing in the line. You know, they were animated and playing, especially the lead singer, but they weren't moving around.
Of course.
You know, when you're moving around, there's a lot of things going. It's like what we were talking about earlier, attention.
Yep.
Our attention spans nowadays, you're going to be lucky if you're going to sit down and watch a full three-hour movie.
Exactly. It's tough. It's tough nowadays.
You're going to – yeah, it's just like that. And whenever I go around and watch different bands that open up for us, I'm always like, man, they could really move and just be so much better. And so that's the thing about my last band is that some of us would move and we'd be all in synchronization. Like, hold on. We all be like synced up and jumping up and down. Sorry, I'm still going off of like 2-3 hours of sleep from the weekend of gigs.
I don't mind. It doesn't bother me. A little caffeine. That's why we went and got Starbucks before.
Yes,
this.
Exactly why. But yeah, going around touring is learning a lot of how to entertain, especially to crowds you've never been to.
Yeah.
A lot of these people in the States, they all act different. It's pretty weird, but it's really, really cool.
And that's something I have no idea about, you know? And it's like, is this the music business or the entertainment business? You're really in the entertainment business at that point.
Because you can play the same music everywhere.
Oh, of course.
You know? And my drummer always says this. He's like, you could put a monkey up there farting on the mic and it wouldn't matter. But the people are into it.
Yeah.
Just because that's the atmosphere.
That's a very true statement right there, yeah.
And when we come in, there's nobody playing, you know, before us. It's just us, right? Just as we bring all of our equipment, maybe drove 10, 12 hours. That's a lot of driving to think, is there going to be people at the show?
It's very true.
Is there going to be people that are going to like the show? And so in my last band, I was always anxious because the music we played was so niche that only a couple people, you know, in the audience would really, really get into it. Most of the people would be like, wow, this is some good music, but I'm not familiar with the ska, reggae, like they are with alternative rock, you know, especially stuff from the 80s. You know, that's what Sushi Rule plays a lot. A lot of 80s bangers.
Which 80s? I mean, 80s, for especially for like, you know, 30, 40, 50-year-olds, so popular. Anyone that age range. I mean, and like, I never went to Unchained. I never really was interested because you got the music.
You didn't? Well,
I think I did like me once at Sparks in the Park.
Okay.
But I don't know. The music was interesting. I was like, eh. I'm a big country music guy. So obviously that's me. But I love 80s. 80s rock is wonderful. And like, I watched some of you guys' stuff and videos you sent and like, I go to that type of performance over an Unchained type of performance.
Yeah, man. I mean, that's what a lot of people have told me before. They're like, the music, you know, that you did in Unchained was really fun, but this music, I just know every single song. I'm going to get up and dance. I mean, how can you not get up to dance Dancing Queen?
Yeah, exactly.
Shook Me All Night Long.
Such a good one.
Pour Some Sugar on Me. Like, you just keep on going on the list of songs that we have, and damn near every single one is going to get somebody singing the songs, mouthing the lyrics. And this is what I've noticed. So, like, back to what I was saying, driving 10 hours, not knowing if people are going to like your music, this band, I'm getting so much more confidence in my set, knowing that people are genuinely going to have a good time because of the music that we're playing.
Yeah, of course.
That's a big deal. But also, we're entertaining. That's a huge thing that a lot of people have told me, wow, you're like a really entertaining band. Like, most people just stay around, you know, don't move. They don't do anything like that. Like, I was just in Antioch, Illinois, which is up by Chicago. And we were playing a lake gig, right? It was just like playing around Lake Springfield, like I did back in the day.
Yeah.
Except these fans were coming up to me after they're just sitting down watching us, not knowing if they like the music or not, right? But you see them kind of nod their head. And they came up to me and they're like, wow. This is so, you guys are like actually entertaining. And that's a thing to take away.
That's what you want. I mean, with everything, entertainment's so important with the, you know, media today and business day and everything. So having that fan engagement, having the entertainment, that's definitely, I don't want to go to a band that's going to sit there and be boring and be like, all right, whatever. One that's exciting, gets me jumping. I don't like to jump. I hate to jump. But if I'm up there, I know you love to jump. There are jump ropes every time at Fit Club. But shoot, if I can get jumping and dancing, I'm in.
Well, it's good to hear that some people might not like jumping because that's what I see. You know, we're an entertaining band, but also we're an interactive band. So I'm going to have people not make them sing, but it's going to feel like you have to sing.
Oh, of course. You put the mic out there.
Put the mic out and stuff and say, you know, give them some hand motions and stuff and really make it known, like, we're here together. It's not just me. You're as much a part of the show as I am.
Of course. And that's the most exciting thing about the band.
It is. And I think a lot of people, some of them are so just scared to get on stage. We'll invite people on stage to sing with us. So if you come out to a show, I'd invite you on stage.
Oh, gosh, guys. I don't know how that would go.
Maybe do like...
I can only imagine me up on the stage. Oh, we're going to sing a little, shoot, I don't know. Oh, give me some old-time rock and roll.
See, we'd probably do like Hot to Go, you know, by like Chapel Roan. Or like, that's like the modern-day YMCA.
Yeah, me singing Chapel Roan. I'll do YMCA. I'd rather do that than do Chapel Roan up there.
What do you mean? I'm catching you at the Pink Pony Club late at night.
Oh, gosh. Come on. Let me get throwing some Morgan Wallen or something. I can do the slow. Let's throw some country in the sushi roll. There we go.
We did do Morgan Wallen for a little bit.
Which one did you do?
what was it? Last night we let the liquor talk.
Oh, that's a good one.
Yep, that was a good one. We used to do Tennessee Whiskey, too.
I love Tennessee Whiskey. That's a good one.
Except I come from that pop punk alternative rock. Like I sing really well with the 90s.
Of course, yeah.
All those guys, 90s, early 2000s, that's where I, you know, lay my confidence on. Where I don't really have my confidence is singing that country, that little slowed down twang.
Yep.
I'm starting to get the understanding of how to sing that and how to sing it well. At first, I could not sing that. And when I got the set list, it was like, wow, there's like over 10 country songs I have to sing.
It's probably totally different from going, it's totally different style, totally different.
Oh, yeah, but it gets the people amped up. And I'm an entertainer. If they're going to get entertained, they're going to love it. I'll sing whatever.
Perfect.
I mean, that's my roots. I come from the Madrigals and stuff, singing Latin music, French music. Singing a cappella.
What'd you do? You did some like French like thing. Les Mis or something? Yeah, I remember Les Mis. That. I remember Les Mis.
Yeah, yeah. Did you remember me coming into the lunchroom one day?
Yes, I do. I do. Remember
you
that.
Do?
I
oh my
that.
God.
I think I was sitting at lunch table like, oh, this guy's coming in here. All the Madrigals, here they come. These weirdos over here. No, I'm just kidding. I love the Mads.
No, I remember going over there and I was like, you better come out. I'm like, we're singing a show. And I think I got maybe Hank and a couple of his buddies come out.
Hey, that's important.
Yeah.
That's a big name. Yeah. That's Mr. Illinois football right now. There
you
go.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah. Oh, my gosh. Anthony, you're putting this in the podcast, right? We're already starting. Oh, we're already been going here.
Been going.
I haven't introduced him yet.
Give him an intro.
All right, hey. All right, we're going to keep it. This might be a long podcast. I'm going to do a two-part segment. Nothing wrong with that, though. All right, let's get this podcast actually started. Well, we already have it started, but... All right, so hey, welcome to the It's Too Early podcast. It's a beautiful Thursday morning. It's nice to have everyone here. Mr. Producer's here. We got a big name, guys. We got a big name in entertainment, big name in, you know, acting, singing. He's done it all. Modeling now, apparently. I mean, good for him. But this is David Allen. He's a lead singer of a Sushi Bowl Roll band based out of Chicago. That's correct?
That's correct. Sushi Roll band.
There we go. So he's been in the arts music industry for years, started in high school, went to Rochester, went to high school with me, big Madrigals guy. He's been around the entertainment business. He's been around the recording, the live entertainment, the being on stage, the... being an actor, he'd done it all. So it's a guy that, you know, we can find out so much about, and he's got a lot to talk. We've already had this podcast, you know, when we've been talking for 20 minutes before I even got to do an intro. So,
yeah,
David,
like,
it's
man, we should start rolling right now.
Exactly. But it's great to have you on the show, and I'm excited for our second episode to bring in such a influential man in the Central Illinois area. So I like to start my shows off with a random icebreaker question. Ooh. So, you know, this is a fun one, you know? So if you could have dinner with any fictional character, who would it be?
Fictional character. Probably Albus Dumbledore.
And why is that?
The man knows so much. He is so kind. And he wants only the best for you. If you've ever seen Harry Potter, he is there day one. He sacrificed so much. He did many things that a lot of people didn't know you had to do to get to that point, to be the leader that he was of an entire school. And this comes back to my point when I was going into Madrigals.
Yeah.
My teacher, Mr. Spear,
great
best
guy.
Mentor I ever had. Next to my dad, you know what
well,
I mean?
Well, yeah, but, of course. But
he was somebody, and this is the thing that I take not with like lightly, but very deep. I think about him every single time I sing. Every single time I warm up my voice, how to smile when I sing, how to present myself. And this not only goes hand in hand with singing, but being a person and talking to someone.
Of course.
You know, he taught me how to be respectful, but also how to know the line to know your value as a person. And so he was always a person that I'd be telling, you know, my coach, sorry, Coach Leonard, I'd have to practice, you know, with the Madrigals. I just wanted to talk to Mr. Spear.
Of course,
and
yeah.
Just get his advice about anything. Or if I had something I was thinking about, whether it was a girl or whether it was grades or trying to become a college athlete for either football or basketball, you know, I was always talking to him. And that brings back to the point of Albus Dumbledore, why I would want to sit down with him.
There you go. Yeah. That's great, because that leads us to the first thing I was going to ask you is, we're going to start in high school. I want to know your story, want to know, you know, what, you know, how you became the most, one of the most entertaining people I know, you know, one of the people I'm always watching social media, like, what is what is he doing nowadays? Oh, yep, he's up in Michigan. I swear, he loves Michigan, Iowa. He'll be in Key West randomly in February, getting a little Key burn West. On. You never know.
Go to all the way to Fargo, North Dakota, too.
I saw that one, too. I was like, I don't think you could drag me out there, especially in wintertime.
It's cold, man. Here, a story, a side of that Fargo story. We actually were driving home after a three-day bender that we had there. Every show was 9:30 to 1:30 a.m.
Goodness gracious.
So after that 1:30, you got to tear all of our equipment down. We don't have no roadies.
Yep.
No roadies come on the road with us. You know, I just posted a video today, and it was a day in the life.
I watched that this morning. Yep.
Somebody commented, you know, that's work for the roadies. I'm like, hey, man. I'm like, in reality, you have no roadies. It's just yourself. And so when we were driving home, after we had tore everything down, people were asking if they, you know, could help us and stuff. There was a bad winter storm.
Oof.
And not even like 20 minutes outside of the venue when we left, we got in a crash, totaled the van.
Oh, was it that bad? Did you like get slid off the road or what happened?
We slid, we hit an ice patch. And now it's like we're getting paperwork for a random rail that we hit, and they're like, we need to have you pay for this. Dude. And I'm like,
these lawyers are going to sue you for anything.
The cops that were there that night said there was 3-4 other accidents that happened on the same highway. They didn't give us no report, no nothing. So that's the thing about being on the road is that you're really by yourself. And so going up to Fargo, going to, down to Key West, anything can happen.
Well, and you're not from that area, so, you know, you're like, okay, let's get this guy from out of town, do something. It's like you're a state trooper in their state, and they're going to try and pull you over. Like, we'll take his tax money. We'll take his money.
Yeah. Oh, these guys are big Chicago people. They got money. It's like, no.
Nope. These Chicago people coming to Fargo, North Dakota in the middle of winter. What a bunch of idiots.
Anyway, sorry to sidetrack. But I just thought I'd share with the class.
No, there's nothing.
That was a pretty crazy story.
That's crazy. Yep. You won't see me in Fargo, you know. Love to come watch you play. Won't be in a Fargo.
Don't come in the wintertime. Especially it's terrible.
It might be really nice there now. I don't know. Couldn't tell you. Key West, though? Yeah, you know, you can get me to Key West.
Key West is a party, let me tell you.
I've heard Key West is, like, it's almost better than Vegas, people tell me.
Yeah. I've never been to Vegas, but I could probably say the people in Key West are a little bit more humble and not really caring if you're dressed up or all that stuff. There's people with their shirts off. There's crackheads.
That's what I've heard. I've heard some.
There's drunks, but they're all in a great mood. That's the thing.
Hey.
They're all ready to party. They're all ready to have a good time. When we were down there last year for New Year's, Logan Paul and Jake Paul's dad was there.
Oh, really? That's crazy.
And I don't know if he was there watching our show, but I had a guy who was from Scotland who flew over to Key West for New Year's. And he was like, dude, you guys are a huge entertainment. Like, I love this band. You know, I was just with Jake Paul and Logan Paul. Like, do you know them? You seem like a pretty hip guy. I'm like, yeah, of course I know them.
Everyone knows them. Does, like, not some people not know them?
I
swear.
I know them. I'm like, yeah, I know them.
Oh, man. Yeah. But, yeah, that's wonderful. I mean, going around the country and having people from Scotland, like, yeah, and giving that credit, that's big. That's big to get your name and brand out there. I think it's important to have those connections, go into a place like Key West or being the trooping, you know, band that says, all right, we'll go to Fargo, North Dakota in the middle of winter.
Yeah. Yeah. A lot of people would say no.
I would say no if I was.
Yeah.
I was in a band, but.
Me, I don't have a choice. I'm just kidding.
It was in the contract. Everyone, I swear. I got forced. All right, well, continuing that, so with the band and where you got to now, so Madrigals, talk about high school. I mean, you were a football player. How did you balance everything? I mean, I, in high school, just played soccer, so I didn't know how to balance everything. I had one thing to do, and that was it. So tell us how you did with Madrigals and football and any extracurricular you were really involved into.
So I like to be involved in everything that I can, whether that's swimming, bowling.
There you go.
I loved, we bowled in high school, and that got me into getting my own bowling ball and getting my own bowling shoes. You know, I also played tennis. I also did track. Football was my main forte, but I grew up playing baseball and basketball. You know, I was always an athlete first, you know, driving around competitive teams. So that's also why I can do this job.
Oh, yeah, it makes the travel so much easier.
Traveling, it just brings me back to doing travel ball. you know. So I came from doing all that to where I played in the band in fifth grade, okay. and I learned clarinet.
There you go.
And I got pretty good with it until, you know, I don't know why, just something, I think I wasn't grown up to know and understand that it's okay to do something that might not be popular.
Yeah.
To the whatever standard that people put on.
I mean, you know, I think I tried a trombone or trumpet with Miss Parker in fifth grade.
Yes.
I was like, no, we're not doing this. Nope.
Yeah.
I was, which, you know, a lot of people don't do it, but you don't realize how hard it is, the things you're doing with instruments. Like, I can't just go pick up a trombone or trumpet or clarinet. And
yeah, it's a skill that a lot of people can't do. And that's why I don't take lightly is singing. You know, I always found myself dancing and singing just in the car. But I never really knew I wanted to do it until seeing my sister above me. My sister's older than me, and she was a senior when I was a freshman. And even before that, when I was in grade school, that fifth grade, I wanted to quit band. And my dad said, "You're not going to quit band and not do anything." He always made sure that I was doing something, whether it was basketball, football, baseball, you know, soccer. Okay, you got to have a lawn business. You know, it's like, it's like, I'm doing so much, but it just keeps my mind. My mind just needs to be occupied all the time. I'm always doing something.
I'm wired the exact same way. You know, I've always got to have something to do.
I can't sit down. You know, that's why, you know, the entertainer in us, you know, we can't just sit down. We have to do something to either entertain us or entertain others.
Oh, 100%, yeah.
And I remember at the State Fair, Illinois State Fair, I saw Miss Parker.
All right, there you
and
go.
This was right before we were going to sixth grade, and I knew I was going to quit band. And my dad was like, "You need to go tell her that you're going to quit."
Ooh, that's always the worst. And parents are like, "You got to go do it now."
Oh, dude, I was so not confident as I am now. And I have all that to do with singing and going back to Mr. Spear.
Yeah.
You know, giving me the confidence boost to know that I can do this. You know, my dad always was like, "You can do this no matter what. If you put your mind to it, if you really believe it," I'm a big believer in talking the game, playing the game, you're going to be the best.
No, 100%, yeah.
You know, you walk your talk. If you can't do that, what are you doing? You know, you have to stay the course. And when I went up and told her, I was so scared. I was sweating. My back was sweating so much. And I told her, I'm like, "Hey, I'm going to quit." She goes, "Oh, that's too bad, but I really hope you have fun doing something else. You know, let me know if you ever need my help." My dad said, "You're going to join the choir like your sister." So I joined the chorus in sixth grade, and I did the Medieval Times play that they did.
Did McCafferty, was that? Did
yes,
you do the choir then?
Okay. Yeah, McCafferty was, yep. Okay. And I had a good end with McCafferty because my mom was best friends with McCafferty's wife, Tish.
Okay.
Since grade school.
Yeah.
Like, they stem back way back when they were little kids. And so I was like, okay, I've known Mr. McCafferty for a while. Sure. I was so, like, scared. And I remember reading lines for the first time, my first script in front of people. I couldn't talk in front of anybody, right, without shaking or sweating. I went to speech class as a kid. Dude, I went to speech class. I was telling somebody earlier today, a lot of people don't realize this, but I had to go to speech class up until sixth grade.
I didn't know that at all.
That's even had a therapist come to my own house.
That actually
my own house.
That actually probably helped you then in the end of things, though, having that extra education. I mean, I'm still trying to learn a lot of speech things, being and talking today.
Well, no. I'm talking about I couldn't say my SHs and Rs. Dude,
well,
I had a speech impediment.
Well, you know. We can say that too. Apparently, elementary Dave was on the lower end of the
but the
popularity.
Good thing,
that's okay though.
But here's to that point. Since I couldn't talk, I could play sports.
That's true.
That brought me my friendships because I was a heck of a good sports player. Any sport I played, I was just really freaking good at it. And that's was my end on the friendships until I started to realize, oh, I can be confident and I don't need sports, you know. And what taught me that was singing in front of people.
That's interesting to think.
I still remember my first auditions and my first, I guess you would call them contest or all district chorus. Both are kind of the same, but all district chorus is you have to go to audition sing in one room with one judge, and they give you a sheet of music that you have to sight read. I'm terrible at sight reading. I don't know how to read music. I've, you know, been taught music theory back in the day. It just goes right over my head. But I have a good feel, a good rhythm, and a good ear. So I can listen to something. If someone sings a melody, I can sing that right back perfect.
That's interesting. That's how you process the music that way. I mean, I could look at music and be like, I have no idea.
But, yeah.
I mean, listening, I guess that makes sense. You know, I feel like if I listen, I can maybe kind of get to it. But that's really interesting that's how that worked.
And a lot of singing and stuff, making top hit music, this is what I learned later in my career when I was in Nashville, is you have to create music that somebody's going to guess where you're going to go next.
Yeah.
It's a whole mathematical equation.
That's a lot of things people don't realize. They don't realize about that industry and how much there actually is behind that.
Mm-hmm.
So you got a high school, you know, you're in Madrigals, football, everything, Unchained. So Unchained was your first major band. You were there for years until you left.
Yep.
We'll get to that later, why you left, everything. But tell me how Unchained started. How did that come to be? How did it become everyone knows Unchained in Central Illinois. It was a big band that played at events around the lake or at, you know, bars and such. So tell me how Unchained came to be.
So I actually joined right after that Les Mis performance that I did in high school. So I played a pretty big role in that. Andre Ross, it was his name.
Okay.
Probably saying it wrong, but
it's French. French is tough.
French, and I am French, which is funny. My grandma's last name is LaPlante. Anyway, so I did that show, and the way that I sang, how I carried myself, I had this big boost of confidence. Not an ego, but confidence is different than ego. So when you have confidence, I felt like I needed to sing more. I needed to act. I needed to do something after high school to keep me into this entertaining, because I've been doing it throughout grade school, throughout high school, loving the lights on me, loving hearing the applause, all aspects of just love. Of doing this.
Oh, yeah, and doing what you love, that's the most important thing, you know? And that doesn't matter age or whatever. If you can try to find something you still love and you're like, all right, cool, let's do this, do it.
Yeah, you just got to roll with it. And that's the big thing, is that when opportunities come, take them. Just go for it. And you know, what do you have to lose other than somebody saying, hey, it didn't work out?
Yeah.
That's, you know, if someone's going to say no to you, then okay, go to somebody else.
All right, next. Yeah, exactly.
They might say yes.
Depends on the, it's just how it goes. That's life for you. That's life, exactly, in a nutshell. That's life.
And when I finished high school, I wanted to keep on singing. And I knew my bass player from basketball. I knew he was in a band, but they already had another singer.
Okay.
So I was jumping into this band. They've been a band probably for already a year, but they weren't really like gigging out, you know what I mean? Like I am now, like a real band, you know, over 100 shows a year. You know, that's a real band to me.
Like a garage band. You're playing know, something, and maybe like a birthday party or something.
Yes,
like
yeah,
that.
Birthday party, graduation party, that's what they were doing.
Okay.
So I texted my bass player, and he's like, yeah, you know, I would text our drummer and stuff because he would know more about that. So, you know, I went to high school with all these guys, but I wasn't, you know, close friends with them. I knew them. You know, especially my drummer in high school, and I knew the guitar player, but I knew the bass player because of basketball.
Okay.
And so that's kind of how my in was, is I texted them, and they first told me no. They were like, no, we're good. Then about 2 weeks later, they got word that their singer was going to be moving to Kansas City for college, and that the band would be no more. And so that was my opportunity. I said, hey, I'm here, like, I could help sing with him. And then essentially my goal was to take over. You know, I didn't know if he was going to still be in the band. Come to think of it, he was coming back and singing, and I thought that it would work out. But we had one show where he first went away to school when that, you know, those first kind of silly weeks go by, syllabus weeks.
Yeah.
Right? You know, that's when you're partying. That's when you're getting to know the campus a little bit.
You're not doing much.
And then you come back to reality, which was Springfield, and we had a show. And he didn't learn any of his stuff. He actually messed us up.
Oh,
and
gosh.
I remember that show was not so bad, but it wasn't working.
Yeah.
And so we actually told him, wasn't going to work out and stuff. He's going to college. It's just hard to have somebody traveling 5+ hours to just play a show with us, and we want to play more shows. So their whole concept was, we're going to make Dave the new singer. Then that resulted into bringing our other singer. And so we kind of had this kind of back and forth, talent-wise, where me and my other singer actually sang in Madrigals together. Okay. We sat right next to each other. And I tried to get him into the band before our drummer said yes, because he was all friends with us, right? We all played basketball together, me, him, and my bass player.
Which that helps out, you know, with the chemistry as well.
It does, it does. And so we already had that bond going, and then we just started playing music like 311. And 311, the band, they have two singers. And so that's something unique about a band. Usually you have one front man.
Yeah.
And in this case, we had two front men. And so that was kind of a really cool thing, because a lot of people came out to our shows. Holy shit. These guys look exactly like 311 back in the 90s. They perform like them. And even their original songs sound like their old stuff.
And that's big, because we were talking earlier about cover. You know, you're doing all the cover music is what people like. So if you said, okay, here's someone that's familiar, you got to take advantage of that.
Mm-hmm. And so once that first couple gigs hit, we got a lot of traction fast. Like, a lot of people knew us. Well, I don't know if they knew us because I took my shirt off every show, but
The girls did.
All ages.
All ages. PG.
No. Grandma, close your eyes.
Mom and grandma listening. Girlfriend who's listening. Crazy ex-girlfriend who's listening. All of that.
And so it got a lot of traction, and we just went with it up until the point where we were playing cover music, and then that resulted into somebody saying, let's make this an original band.
Yeah.
And so that's kind of where, you know, I had a little divide, because I liked playing cover music because everyone knew the cover music. Everyone was entertained, and it was easy to get the crowd into it. And where I come from is, you smile, the crowd smiles.
Yeah.
You know, you don't have this stank face and like this hard music, and it's just not resonating well. That's not entertainment. That's doing your own thing. And so doing the cover shows was really fun. We got some money, but we always put the money to original stuff. And so that original music making got so good, and we had tons of people around our area, especially in the Springfield area, that were very uplifting. A lot of the bands around here supported us so much, and they still support me and that band too as well.
Yeah.
And that's a huge thing about community. Community makes you better.
Of course.
You know, I got so much more confidence, understanding, and learning that, wow, you guys really have what it takes. You are a national touring act.